Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2013 Annual Ladies Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday morning, February the 16th, 2013. Jerry McGee is the speaker of this service, teaching on grief, exchanging sorrow for joy. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
When I was standing over, I was over here repenting, Lord, show me about my eyes, Lord. What am I missing? I said, what do you want me to do? He said, trust me. I knew that was him. I knew that wasn't a demon. And so, I grew up, just from my testimony, I grew up in a home that wasn't perfect. My mom and dad were certainly far from perfect, but they gave me a good image of God. One thing I could know about my parents is they would always do what's right. Even though they didn't take me to church, they didn't pray with me. My daddy taught me about Jesus. And so basically, other than being a little fat girl, and I could identify with being called fatty 2x4, can't get through the kitchen door, that was really the only pain I had growing up, is being a little fat girl and being rejected. And I remember in the sixth grade, the kids wouldn't play with me. I had no friends. And you know what the Lord showed me this morning? He gave me the root to that when I was thinking about it. My daddy, as much as I love my daddy would play with my sisters, but if I'd get in his lap, he'd push me away. And I saw that this morning. You see, my daddy pushed me away because I was just like him. You see, you have the hardest time with the kid most like you. There's an unloving spirit of self-rejection, self-hate, self-bitterness, unforgiveness of self. It's an antichrist spirit, and it works in the if it's in a parent, the parent will reject the child that's like them because they know all their moves. You know what I'm saying? And you know, those of you who've had children, you have the hardest time with the kid and the grandkid that's most like you. So the Lord showed me that. But He just showed me this morning the root to why the fifth or sixth grade, why on the playground nobody played with me. And so I knew what the root was this morning when I was praying. So I thank the Lord. I forgave my daddy that he pushed me away. And it could also affect other relationships too. And I came to the Lord in 1958. I accepted the Lord at a Billy Graham crusade, but I kept cursing, I kept smoking, I kept telling dirty jokes. My life never changed. But I got born again in 1963, and I became born again reading the Word of God. My sister, my big sister, who knows the Lord, was going through a divorce, and I was trying to help her. So I began to read the Bible looking for answers for her problems and found all the answers to mine. And when I got to the scripture that said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Now, I wasn't a church member. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. I thought, that's what's happened to me. And so then I knew I'd been born again. And when I tell you, when God let me find Him, He was all I wanted. I mean, I got so on fire for the Lord. This was 50 years ago. So much so that I was happily married in 1972. And he was a bank president in a small town, Keene, Texas. Had everything anybody would want materially. And one day he came home and he said, I want a divorce. We didn't have arguments. We weren't fighting. We had a peaceful home. I thought we had a wonderful home. I loved being a homemaker. Loved to cook. Loved my children. Loved him. And I just couldn't. I mean, my heart was absolutely broken and devastated. Every time I read my grief book, I can almost cry on the first part. Reading the foreword, I'll cry all over again. And God's healed me. But I remember I said, but God didn't want us to get a divorce. And he said, the more you talk about God, the more you turn me off. You turn me off and I want to be turned on. And so he divorced me. He had gotten involved with his secretary. He was her third husband, and she was 23. She had the blonde wigs, the mini skirts, the go-go boots, the false eyelashes, and she was 23, and he was her third husband. When you're a bank president's wife, everybody in town wants to know you. Just a little bitty town, everybody in town knows you, and boy, everybody wants to be your friend. People that we fellowshipped with disappeared. I became a threat to the other women in our little couples group that we hung with. All of a sudden, I was a threat to them, and maybe I might be interested in their husband, but I would never be interested in a man that's interested in other women when he's married, because he'll treat you the same way. So be warned that if you're going with somebody or you know somebody that's, oh, he's changed and he was unfaithful to his mother or to his wife, or let me tell you, he'll do you the same way. And so I know the pain of betrayal, being left alone, not having anybody to fellowship with. I didn't want my kids to think that I was for this divorce. So my lawyer, he contested it to a higher court. It was a 9-hour divorce trial. And when it was over, he stood up and said, "We appeal this to a higher court." And I was just going to run it out as far as I could. And everybody said, "Why are you holding on to him?" So I began to say, "Well, Lord, don't you want me to hold on to him? What do you want me to do, Lord?" And I put a fleece out to the Lord and I said, "Lord, if you want me to let go of him, have this happen. If you don't want me to let go of him, I'll hold on as long as you tell me." And so about a week later, he came and he said, "Give me a divorce and I'll do whatever you say." I cried all day because I didn't want to give him a divorce. And it was like I was holding on to a cliff. And the minute he married that woman, I let go. I remember one time going by her house, and he was standing out in the yard holding her 13-month-old baby, and he was leaving his 12-year-old and his 8-year-old. And I said, "I can't believe you're doing this." And he told me where to go. I cried all day. I was sitting in church. Tears were splashing down on my Bible. And this precious lady next to me opened my Bible to Jeremiah 29:11 that says, "I know the plans I have for you. They're for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." And I can tell you, I hung on to that scripture. You mean, God, you have a plan in the midst of this mess? And because of my hope being renewed, I called everyone I thought had any power to pray in this country. And I had met the Billy Graham team. I'd worked on 2 Billy Graham crusades and met some of the Billy Graham team. I called Grady Wilson. "Don't you give him a divorce." I said, "Well, I'm trying." "No, I'm trying not to." But anyway, every person that I thought had any prayer to pray, had any power in prayer, I asked them to pray that this home would not be destroyed. Well, it was. He remarried. And I let go. And I married a man. And I lived with him for 27 years. He was wonderful to Kyle, my oldest son, who's my pastor, who is a godly man. He was an exceptionally good stepfather to him. But he had a problem with people he thought were losers. And he thought Todd was a loser. And so, you know, Todd never knew the love of a father. And what makes a lesbian woman or a homosexual man is not having the love of a mother or nurturing mother or nurturing daddy, or not having a man, not having a daddy. You know, by the time a male is, you know, it's normal for a male to bond to his mother until he's about 2. But if by 2 he's not bonded to his daddy, by 3... then it opens him up to homosexuality. And so little boys that are homosexuals are just little boys that are looking for a daddy. And it's the same with lesbian women. They're looking for a mother. You know, we grieve because we don't have a mother, daddy. We grieve because of our own failures. We grieve because we think maybe we married the wrong person. We grieve because of our children. We grieve because of mistakes we made. That's the hardest grief for me to get over, is my own failures. But you know, Christianity is the only religion where we can redeem lost opportunities. He restores the years the locusts have eaten. Don't think it's too late for you. Moses was 80 years old. Don't think it's too late for you. Hey, it starts now. When you go home, you take God with you. Not that you didn't have Him when you came, but you're going to go home with a greater understanding of knowing how God wants to heal your pain. He doesn't want you to live in pain. You don't have to live in pain. You don't have to be bullied. You'll be bullied only if you let yourself be bullied. And I'm not talking about rearing up in rebellion. You know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when Nebuchadnezzar said, "You bow down to my false God," and people that try to control you are wanting you to bow down to their false God, they said, "Oh, king," they didn't say, "We're not going to obey your demons." They said, "Oh, king, we can't listen to you in this matter. For even if God does allow us to be destroyed, He's God. Whatever would glorify Him the most." And had they bowed down to that golden image, Nebuchadnezzar wouldn't have said, "Come out of there, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There's no God like yours." But you see, if we're too fearful to stand up for the things of God, we're not showing anybody any kind of a testimony. Did you know that the difficult people in your life will not change until you change? God is trying to teach you something with these turkeys that are in your life. We all have them. I'm serious. We all have them. The Bible says the glory of children is their fathers. And this ties in with Sharon's message on bullying. You know, bullying goes back in the generations. If there's undealt with bitterness, anger, unforgiveness of people that have bullied you, that's, you're born with that stuff. And then your mother and father bully you, or there's bullying going on somewhere, because that's laying a foundation for bullying it, being bullied. But the Bible says the glory of children is their fathers. That means a nimbus, an aura. In the spirit realm, if we have our Father's glory, which is like a crown of glory, you can't see it with the human eye, but the demons can see it and God can see it. If we don't have a father, the demons say, "You can pick on them because they don't have a daddy." And see, and you say, "Well, I had a daddy and I got picked on," but your daddy was picked on too. Or your mother was picked on or bullied. And it's a bullying spirit that passes down. But if you have your Father's glory by being trained up in the discipline instruction of the Lord, then the demons say, "You better leave her alone because she's got her daddy's glory. She's got a daddy." And you say, "Well, now that leaves me in a terrible shape because I don't have a daddy, and what do I do?" But you know, God, the Heavenly Father, is the greatest glory anybody could have. And so when we forgive our earthly fathers for not being our glory, our nimbus, our aura, to make known to the powers of darkness, "You better leave me alone. I have a daddy." When we don't have that, we're picked on. The Bible says that His banner over me is love. I display a banner that tells the powers of darkness, "Hey, King Jesus is head of my army." And so, you didn't have a daddy? Ask God to come be your glory. You can't live in sin and unrepentant heart and think you're going to have God's glory. It's only as you walk in repentance. The more you repent, the more glory is shining forth in your life. And I was married 27 years, and I remember going by the house one day with Todd when he had AIDS, and he passed our old house, and he said, "Mom, I can't think of one happy day in that house." And I said, "Honey, I can't either." But you know, God used all of that. The whole seminar really has come out of me learning how to overcome by going to God's throne of grace. "God, what are you trying to show me? This man says I don't love him. Maybe he's right." Well, how do you love? And I remember when Todd died, I thought, you know, it's going to be a miracle because I don't like anything about this man and the way he treated my son. But Lord, I'm yours. My heart is yours. And God, your love. And I've read the books on how to love. But Lord, there's nothing in me that can love this man. And I can tell you, God put love in my heart for him, even though I recognize the things he did wrong. And he did a lot of good things right. He was a great stepfather to Kyle. And I have to give him credit for that. He was a clean living man. He was a moral man. But he was an illegitimate child himself. And extreme perfectionist. And you know, the things that affect people are how they grew up. He was not even recognized by his own dad. But I can tell you that in all of that, God turned my mourning into joy. God knew all along. I remember one day saying, Lord, I don't want to be a divorcee. God, I ask you to kill me. If you're not going to kill me, kill him. I don't want to be a divorcee. I really prayed that because I didn't want to be a divorcee. You see, I used to teach Sunday school and think, I can't believe that pastor lets all these divorced people teach in the church. And this is a good one. And I can't believe the pastor lets all these people smoke. Let me tell you, when I had the ministry in Lindale, we had to put a can in front of the church because there was so many cigarette butts. Suzanne will tell you, so many cigarette butts out front. We had to put a can out there for people to put their cigarette butts. You see, whatever you judge is going to come back. Right between the eyes, you see, I had to be broken. And we're broken. All of us are like wild stallions until God breaks us. He can't use us until he breaks us. And it's a continual breaking. And I thank the Lord for it. I thank the Lord for his discipline and his correction. Because we can get better instead of bitter. And we don't have to be bitter. We don't have to die. We don't have to deteriorate. And if you don't deal with your demons by the time you're my age, you're all mangled and distorted. I'm serious. You keep on walking in repentance. And listen, God will change you from glory to glory, from strength to strength. The Bible says that. But we don't have to be bitter. And God doesn't want us to be divorced. He wants us to be happy. Okay, and through all of this, I can say that God had a plan because he knew my heart's desire when I would cry and say, oh God, you said, if I delight in you, I'll have the desires of my heart. And Lord, I know that's the only thing I have done right is I have delighted in you. God, I want my husband back. But God knew all along that had I stayed married, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing today. And so I thank the Lord that he used all of that to conform me into his image. And I remember one day my husband said, my last husband, he said, if I'd have known the way you were, I'd have never married you. And I said, well, honey, I'd marry you all over again. He went, you would? I said, yeah, where do you think I got all the material for this seminar? But not only, let me tell you, it wasn't just him. I mean, I dealt with my stuff. I mean, it was learning to overcome all those obstacles. And I really have had it. I've had such a blessed life. I really have. But God wants to turn your mourning into joy. Okay, some things about grief. And we're going to finish at the right time here. Romans 8:35 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. We're accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we know all things work together for good to those that love the Lord. So let God conform you to his image. Ask him what he's trying to teach you through that trial. He just loves it. But you first got to forgive your parents for not instructing you. not training you up in the way you should go, not giving you legitimate answers, being stupid, incompetent. However you judge them, you're judging God the same way. That's got to get out of the way, because that keeps God from speaking to you. Some of you were given away, thrown away, abandoned, grew up in an orphanages, never knew your mother and father, never knew the love of a mother father. You've grieved over all of those things. But God says you're more than a conqueror. And God loves you so much. You know, we experience grief. It can be experienced through sickness, through divorce, personal loss, or anything we once valued, we grieve over. It's experienced when important people in our life die or leave. It can come in when life is so miserable, I wish I was dead. You open yourself up to a spirit of death that begins to work in you like a moth. And you may not see it when you're a little kid, but when you get older, you see it works and it deteriorates your body. I'm going to say this, and I give all the glory to God. The other day I applied for a new insurance policy, which was $100 cheaper than the one I'm paying for. Something you have to have, a Medicare supplement thing. And every question they ask about my physical body, I could say no, 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 none, no, no. When I got off that phone, I said, God, I thank you for good health. And let me tell you, I give God the glory, but I attribute it to repentance, 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 and dealing with the grief and the vexation and the sin that's been in my life. And even though I grew up with in a pretty happy childhood, it wasn't perfect. I have repented of thousands of judgments I've made on my mother and father, still doing it after 50 years of being a Christian. Sometimes people don't take their stuff to God, so what they do is they turn to psychiatric medicine. They turn to the world for answers. I mean, can I tell you, it doesn't work? I know people right now, I know one particular man that I thought willfully killed himself. And after investigating the drug he was taking, one of the things it causes is insomnia, that you can drive someplace and not even know you went there. How many times... I don't take any kind of medication at my age, but I'm saying, how many times do you take a vitamin and you think, did I take that vitamin? I don't remember if I took it. How many have done that? Is that just me? Okay, you're on psychiatric medicine that causes psychotic behavior. The side effects of psychiatric medicine is suicide, trying to hurt yourself. But in this particular medication, it causes insomnia. And now I really believe the man accidentally killed himself. He probably took the pill and forgot he took it and forgot he took it and forgot he took it. One person that knew him said that last time I talked to this man, his speech was slurred. Accidentally kill yourself because you forgot you took it and you overdose it and it freezes in your... Sharon could tell you more. She's a nurse. She could tell you more of what the medication does. And you know, there's going to be many doctors have to stand before God for the people they killed by giving medication. The number 3 and 4 killer of people in the United States is medical mistakes and prescription drugs. Every drug has a side effect that becomes another disease. And so the more excellent way, as Henry Wright says, is to deal with the spiritual root to why you have what you have. And one thing I do, and I'm still doing it, is pull up every scripture on that part of my body and begin to repent over each one. But most people don't know that. They go to their doctor, and let me tell you something. If you've got medical records, you'll be affected more during Obamacare than you will if you don't have a medical record. Amen. Because I'm serious. They even have death panels for people my age to learn how to die. And this is not a political message, because if it had been a Republican elected, it would have been the same thing, because the one world order controls them all. They're bought out. It's why you wonder why nothing ever changes. Both sides. Grief means anger, sickness, vexation, loss, misfortune, injury, evils of every kind, misconduct, you could say bullying, sorrow, the realization we've done wrong ourselves. It means to be pressured, oppressed, overburdened, any severe affliction, distress, calamity, difficulty, grievance, or embarrassment. Means deep mental anguish as that arising from bereavement, regret, annoyance, or frustration. It has a threefold meaning: numbness, dumbness, which is unable to speak and articulate, and sickness. Wherever you have grief, you'll have a wounded spirit and have a button pusher. If you're an explosive person, you'll just be having a happy day and somebody pushes your button or rains on your parade or touches one of those sensitive places and it's rawr. Or if you're a more a person that doesn't show, you can feel it going, stops right here. You wouldn't give anybody the satisfaction of knowing that you're hurt. Pride. Amen? That's a wounded spirit. You know, it comes in through inner vows, which are idols, our expectations. When I grew up, life's not going to be this way. You see, any time I don't take my pain to God, I turn to a false god. And that's why I stay wounded. Like if Vicky hurts me and I don't deal with it by sundown, I may think, you know what, next time I see her, I'm going to ignore her. Is that a false god? And wherever there's a false god, there's anger, depression, hurt, grief, sadness, sorrow, bitterness, resentment, button pushers. All idolatry. It's all idolatry. Okay, I'm going to read these things really close, what grief can cause. Loss or death, we fail ourselves when we fail somebody, we're abandoned or given away, sexual molestation, been incested, unwanted, illegitimately conceived, you weren't allowed to be a child, you had to be the mama, you had to be the daddy, not being breastfed, which is one of the roots to breast cancer. Grief will cause your eyes to grow dim, Job 17:7, my eye has grown dim. Are faint because of grief, vexation, anger, and all my members are as a shadow. Write these down real quick. We only got 10 minutes to do this. Psalms 31:9, be gracious to me, O Lord, for I'm in distress. Those grief will cause your soul and your body to waste away. My eye is wasted away from grief, my soul and my body also. In my grief, I may say, God's forgotten me. No, he hasn't. If you say God's forgotten me, that's because you thought your mom and dad forgot you. If you say God's not there, it's because your mom and dad weren't there. If you say God don't love me, that's because your mom and dad didn't love me. You know, when I was going through all that I was going through, because I never felt unloved a day in my life, my mom and dad did do that right. They loved me. I never once thought, this man don't love me. I looked at my little boys and it broke my heart that they didn't have a daddy. That's what broke my heart. I wanted my little boys to have a daddy like I had. Grief can cause your soul to weep. That could be the root to leaky heart valve. That's Psalms 119. My soul weeps, drops because of grief. Strengthen me according to thy word. Foolish children can be a grief. How many of you grieved over your children? Get out of the way and let God discipline them. Oh, but they may have to live on the street. Oh, they may have to go to jail. You know, my son Todd would be alive today if my mother hadn't sent him probably $2,200 a month in 1985. That's a lot of money. Bless her heart, she couldn't bear the thought of him living on the street. And from a guy that liked silk sheets, he didn't want that precale sheets that he was having to be sick on. One day he said, Mom, can we get some different sheets? These precale sheets. So I said, no, you're going to have precale sheets. Had he had to live on the street, he might be still alive today. You see, when God is disciplining somebody for their bad behavior and you're bailing them out, you're getting in the God's way of the whipping. And things are not going to change. You are the domino that causes all of them to fall. Get out of the way and let God whip them. Carla gave me the definition of when my mother and father forsake me, the Lord will take me up. It means when my mother and father cut me loose, the Lord will take me up. They don't need a Savior as long as you're their Savior. But when you get out of the way and quit trying to take their hits and let God discipline them, listen, they'll run for a Savior, especially if you've been telling them Jesus is the answer. my little sister, I mean, I've gone through things, but she's been stubborn because she grew up with no discipline at all. And the other day I said, a rod for a fool, a whip for a donkey. No, it's a whip for a donkey, a rod for a mule, and a bridle for a donkey, a whip for a mule, and a rod for the back of the fool. She said, I've been all three. But praise God. Grief can cause bitterness. You can grieve over foolish children, so you have to forgive them. Forgive yourself for the regrets you have in training them up. I can be laughing on the inside and crying on the outside. Proverbs 14:13. Even in laughter, the heart may be in pain, and the end of joy may be grief. Wisdom comes with a price. Ecclesiastes 1:18. Because in much wisdom, there is much grief. Why is it? Because when you go through things, if you ask God, He gives you wisdom in all the pain you're going through. And Jesus bore our grief in Calvary. He bore our sickness. He bore our grief. The consequences of idolatry is grief. Lamentations 1:5. Her adversaries have become her masters. Her enemies prosper, for the Lord has caused her grief. The good news is that God will have compassion when we turn to Him. Loss of expectation causes grief. Proverbs 13:12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. And there's a throne of grace we can go to. And today I want you to stand up and I want you to ask the Lord to show you. First of all, I want you to forgive your parents for all of their negative characteristics. And then renounce the lie that God's just like them so you can come to the throne of grace. So Lord, in Jesus' name, search my heart. I ask for the truth that sets me free. Lord, I ask you to come and heal my pain. Give me hope. Come and heal my grief, my sorrow, my sadness, and turn my mourning into joy. I ask for a garment of praise and a spirit of in exchange. Lord, I ask for a beauty for ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting, that I might be an oak of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. And Lord, I want to bring all my grief and sadness to you. But I thought you were like my dad and mom. I thought you'd get angry at me. So I've lied. I've been unfaithful, Lord. Father, I forgive my mother and father for not loving me, not wanting me, throwing me away, abandoning me, never giving me a good answer, never disciplining me, never training me up in the way I should go. I forgive them for letting me grow up in a dysfunctional home. I forgive them for fighting and warring and drunkenness, alcoholism. I forgive them for rejecting me, not valuing me, not protecting me, allowing people to abuse me. Father, I forgive them that they wouldn't forgive me. I forgive them for molesting me if they did. I forgive them for verbal abuse, physical abuse, mental abuse, sexual abuse. I break curses of incest off of me. I forgive them for conceiving me illegitimately. I forgive them for being stupid in my eyes. Forgive me, Lord, for judging them. Now, Lord, come down into my pain. I come to your throne of grace. I come to get strengthened, confirmed, established, and perfected. I come to your throne of grace to exchange my mourning for joy. I come to your throne of grace to get conformed to your image with the sorrow leading to repentance. Forgive me for vowing I want to die. I want someone else dead. Forgive me for hating my parents. Forgive me for rebellion, adultery, fornication, pride, arrogance, boastfulness, antichrist. Lord, I forgive my parents for not wanting to talk to me by the way, which is the root to prayerlessness. They don't want to talk to me, so God don't want to talk to me either. I forgive them for not giving me answers to my problems. Not solving my problems. And Lord, I ask for the truth now. I give you permission to pull up every painful thing that you want to heal today. I thank you that you will. Now, as God brings that up, I want you to forgive every person for everything they did. Ask God to forgive you. Go back from early as you can remember in your childhood and every painful, grievous thing. Forgive your mother and father and whoever hurt you. Ask God to forgive you. Tell the ones that you love that are in heaven. Ask God to tell them what you didn't get to say to them that you want to say to them. You grieve over failed marriages, thinking you married the wrong person. No, you didn't. All your tears are in a bottle. Forgive them that they wouldn't let you cry. How many of you were beat? If you cry, you get beat harder. Forgive me for vowing I won't cry. I'll be a big girl. Some of you are grieving because you had to be the mama. You had to be the daddy because your mother and daddy were totally irresponsible. And you have a hard time resting because you had to take on the universe. Some of you grieve because your mama wanted a boy and you're a girl. Never were nurtured. Never were breastfed. Had to raise yourself. No one to ever take care of you. Nobody to hug you or show you attention. Nobody to watch over you, not have your father's glory. Lord, I forgive each person that's hurt me. Forgive me for hurting others. Forgive me for letting the sun go down on my anger and turning to false gods. When I grow up, life's going to be different. Nobody's going to ever do me this way again. Forgive me for arm of the flesh. Lord, I get on the potter's wheel. I present my body to you as a living sacrifice. And Lord, when I'm on the potter's wheel, how dare anybody touch me? Because I'm in your hands, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that everything is going to work together for my good. Take away the bitterness, the fainting spirit, losing heart, wanting to give up, quit, bail out. And I want you to lift your hands to the Lord. Lord, would you come and be my glory? Now, this means resist. This means receive. Lord, I receive your glory. You said when my mother and father forsake me, you'll take me up. Lord, I've been angry at you because I've been angry at my dad and mom. I forgive you. I forgive myself. I forgive my children. I forgive my mate. Forgive me for obeying demons. Forgive me for listening to the voice of a stranger. Lord, I yield my life to you. I break the power of every spirit of fear, doubt, unbelief has to go. You can put your hands down unless you're just basking. In the name of Jesus, I come against anger, bitterness, hatred, variance, strife, murder. I come against strife, jealousy, envy. I come against attention-getting spirits. I come against hopelessness, despair, discouragement, depression. I come against guilt, shame. I come against unbelief, lies, lying, doubt. I come against rebellion and antichrist. I come against the spirit of grief. I come against vexation, sorrow, anger, bitterness. I come against idolatry, the spirit of idolatry. In the name of Jesus, I come against the spirit of pain. I command pain to leave your body. Wherever the pain is where the offense was. If you've got pain in your feet, you've been bitter towards your past. Pain in your hands, bitter toward ministry or ministers or people, things you've done with your hands in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, I break the power of arthritis. I break the power of cancer, rebellion, antichrist, crippleness, lameness. I break the power of sorcery and witchcraft. In the name of Jesus, I come against that wounded spirit in Jesus' name. Lord, I ask you to heal all their wounds. I ask you to press them out, bandage them, soften them with oil in the name of Jesus. I give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, a mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting, that they might be oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. And Lord, I rebuild their former devastations of many generations. For their shame, Lord, give them a double portion. But I want you to say, I forgive myself for marrying the person I thought was the wrong person. And I ask you to forgive me, Lord. And I thank you that you're going to work it for my good. In Jesus' name. I break the power of shame. Lord, for their shame, give them a double portion. I ask that they be a royal diadem in your hand. In Jesus' name. Thank you that you restore the years the locusts have eaten. Thank you, Lord, that we have another chance. Thank you that today's another day. Thank you that we don't have to live in sorrow and sadness with a broken heart. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have to be overcome. We can be overcomers in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Spirits of defeat and failure, the lies that is never going to change, the lie of hopelessness, I command you to go. I break your power. In Jesus' name, I command the spirits of a broken heart, lacerated heart, leave in Jesus' name. I command heart problems, heart trouble, weeping heart, failing eyes. I command you to go now in Jesus' name. I command the spirits that have wasted their body away, the spirits that have crippled them. I command every crippling spirit, go. Lameness, go. In the name of Jesus, all spirits of stiffness, soreness has to go in Jesus' name. Praise you, mighty God. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. All spirits of unrest has to go. All spirits of betrayal and abandonment has to go. All the demons that have set me up to be bullied has to go. I say from this day forward, I have my Father's glory. And from now on, the demons are going to look at me and say, you better leave them alone. They have God's glory. Now go in Jesus' name. All spirits of respiratory problems, all spirits of suffocation in the lungs, all spirits of lung problems, brain problems, mind problems, all the demons of psychiatric medication, go in Jesus' name. All the demons of sorcery, all spirits of prescription drugs and sorcery, go in Jesus' name. I break your power. I break your power. Praise you, mighty God. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. All spirits of grief and failure and defeat has to go. Lord, I remove every demon that's holding them back. All holding back spirits. All fear of not submitting to demons. All fear of people's wrath. All fear of people's anger. All fear of not obeying demons. Go in Jesus' name. All spirits of torment, torture. I command the tormentors to go. All unforgiveness. All lying spirits, lies has to go in Jesus' name. I break your power. I break your power. I break your power, all bitterness, root of bitterness, I rip you out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, the deeds of the flesh, I rip you out in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. 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 I set their soul free from prison that they may praise you. Lord, I ask you to download them with the joy of the Lord that is their strength. All spirits of tiredness, weariness, heaviness, fatigue, anxiety, tension, stress, nervousness has to go in Jesus' name. Has to go in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Now I want you to get a partner and I want you to jerk them on the potter's wheel. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Now, what does the clay do? What does the clay do? One thing, submit to the potter. Amen? What does the potter do? He does it all. Forgive me for turning the potter's wheel. I break the power of legalism over people. Religious spirits have to go in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Pharisee spirits, you have to go. Self-righteousness, you have to go in the mighty name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before Him. Choking, go in Jesus' name. Everybody that's choked her, I cut their hands off her neck in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. 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 Praise you, Jesus. Praise you. Hysteria, hyperventilation, go in Jesus' name. Paranoia has to go. Panic attacks. Every spirit that's kindred to breathing, go in Jesus' name. Horror, fear, go in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bless the Lord. Lord, we ask you to bless this food. Bless the hands that prepare it. Bless every person that participates at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. Bless the finances. And let me tell you, if you're going to a dead church, don't give the money to a dead church. Send it to Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. Amen? Amen. We're going to be back at 1:15, so you better eat quick.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.